What's going on, Blue Jays fans, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Blue Jays on the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your co-host, Lucas Weiss, here with another episode. The Blue Jays, they found a way to win at the Trop. Yes, they found a way to win at the Trop, 4-2 over the Tampa Bay Rays. They're still in an AL wildcard spot. We got a lot to talk about on this show, but first, of course, you can find me at Wii Sports on Twitter. You can find me on Sportsnet, ESPN's The Undefeated Complex, play-by-play on Saga 960 AM. A lot of those places, but obviously tonight, a huge victory for the Toronto Blue Jays. This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. So download the app and join me this week to get in on the action of all things Toronto Blue Jays. It's going to be fun. Spotify Green Room. We have a busy episode ahead, but first, let me welcome in my co-host, AJ Andrews. AJ, welcome.
Hello, hello. I'm slightly woozy. I had to get a lot of blood taken out of me today. And then I had my soul taken out of me by that Blue Jays ending of that game. So I'm going to do my best to be as on point as y'all expect, but bear with me because I think I might miss the plate by a couple feet, and you know, Joe West might still call it a strike since I'm a Blue Jays fan.
Right, of course. Well, we will navigate through all of that. Of course, we're going to start with talking about what happened pregame, which actually took place in the first game of the series, but got discovered prior to the second game tonight, which was, of course, I like to call it Cardgate. We'll get into all that in just a bit. Alek Manoah, I thought, had a gutty performance tonight. Not his best stuff, but a huge performance for someone just getting started in the big leagues. As someone as young as him, to have a gutsy performance like that, massive. And then we're going to end things off with some love for Teoscar Hernandez, who had another huge RBI tonight. It was a great performance for him. We're going to show some love at the end of the show. Let's get started, AJ, of course, with, I like to call it Cardgate. So Sportsnet's Arash
Madani. That's so easy, though. Just putting gate on the end of everything. Come on.
Well, I mean, you
there's
know.
There's got to be another scandal we can reference.
Watergate. I know it's unoriginal, but it felt perfect for the mood because, look, Sportsnet's Arash Madani tweeted out a video showing in the first game, Kevin Kiermaier, literally forgot his name there for just a second, Kevin Kiermaier sliding into home plate into Alejandro Kirk, and then a card, a mysterious card, fell out of Kirk's wrist. Kiermaier, like, suspiciously looks at it, picks it up, and walks back to the dugout. It turns out that card, AJ, has a ton of data, on how the Blue Jays are going to attack the Rays hitters. Now, apparently a ball boy went over from the Blue Jays to the Rays dugout, asked for the card back, and like the Rays are like, no, you're not getting that card back. We can't hit on Robbie Ray anyway. We're going to keep the card. It turned into this whole situation, if you will, prior to Tuesday night's game. AJ, is this something to be concerned about? Because, look, it's important, yes, but I think it felt a little bit bigger than big. I think it is big because, of course, it is cheating. I mean, like, especially if they gain an advantage, but I felt like it was a little bit blown out of proportion. Your thoughts?
I kind of agree with you on the latter point. I do think it was blown a little bit out of proportion because, I mean, baseball is filled with stories of guys who know exactly what the pitcher is going to throw and then can't do anything about it. Like, who was it in the All-Star game? Like forever ago. I'm gonna be yelled at because I can't remember which legend this was, but I want to say it was like a Sandy Koufax who would like be like, okay, here comes my fastball. And then he throws it and then they can't hit the fastball. Like that is the thing about baseball. You can think you know exactly what's going to happen and you still can't do anything about it sometimes. So I think it was a little bit blown over proportion, but of course it's freaking Kevin Kiermaier who finds a card and pockets it. Kevin Kiermaier has been like the thorn in the Blue Jays side for I don't know how many years, the way he just robs hit after hit after hit in center field. Not as able to do it now that he's a wily veteran, but of course he would take it. Like that, it's like the Rays are like the Omar Little of MLB. They're doing things on the cheap, but they'll win any way they can and use every trick they can to get leverage. And like this is just another incident. Is it shady? Absolutely. But like I said, I don't think it's to the point where, you know, there needs to be an investigation because a card got taken. It is completely overblown, like you said.
Yeah, and look, I think it's absolutely important to report because I think we have seen examples of cheating happen in sports recently. Look at no further in baseball than the sign-stealing scandal with the Houston Astros and the garbage can banning. You look at in the NFL, I mean, I mentioned the Deflategate earlier. I mean, that happened in the NFL, right, with the New England Patriots. So yeah. Teams are so paranoid and Arash and Shai Davidi of Sportsnet before the game even reported as well, like the Blue Jays have to bring along shredders everywhere they go on the road because they're so worried that teams are going to find out different strategies as to what to do to gain a leg up. And I think the discourse that I didn't necessarily agree with on Twitter was, oh, I'm so shocked it's the Rays. Well, the Rays are like any other team, to your point, AJ, where they want to win. They want to find any advantage to win. And look, I know that the Rays get this perception of being, oh, this small market team, low payroll, they're going to follow the rules. But look, they're going to do anything they can to win. They know it's September baseball. They know it's an AL East rival. But I also think, too, if you're the Blue Jays, just change the move. I mean, once that happens, just change the move. Just change the strategy. Like these players are professional ball players. You can adjust on the fly. So I do think it is bad, yes. I think, obviously, like we want professional sports to have integrity, but I do think that we saw a little bit tonight with Alec Manoah with Kiermaier, like some gamesmanship on the mound and just sort of Kiermaier, you know, didn't have a great night, but I just think that the Jays can adjust and hopefully we get to the bottom of this. We'll see. I mean, we'll see if these players get asked about it post game and what they say. I think it probably adds a little bit more fuel to the rivalry. But I don't think there's going to be any, like, discipline from Major League Baseball on this. But you never know.
No. All I know is this is priming the pump very well for when Tampa Bay finally runs out of money and lose to Montreal in 2024. And then we have that rivalry already established because the Blue Jays don't like the Rays. And the Rays just want anyone to notice them and give them attention for things other than Kevin Cash's bullpen management. So... yeah, no, I do think it's overblown. And as you stated, Kevin Kiermaier looked like garbage for the majority of the night. Only Joe West's benevolent strike zone allowed him to avoid an 0-for day because he got one walk. Like he was responsible for more outs than base runners at bats at that point, like with the double play he had earlier. So like I said, Blue Jays were able to grit it out, get a win, even if the Rays did like absolutely study the heck out of that card, have it enshrined in the clubhouse. Like I said, it's still on them to try and make those adjustments to make it so that the Blue Jays can't do that. And they failed in this game. So, you know, tough.
For sure. And speaking of this game, because we spend a lot of time talking about the pregame, now let's get to the game. Big part of this game, the Blue Jays 4-2 win over the Rays, was Alek Manoah. Now, Manoah may not have had his best stuff, but he was effective tonight. We're going to talk about Manoah coming up. But first, let me talk to you about Green Room, because this episode is brought to you by Green Room. Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. It's the perfect place to join conversations about the league. You'll find fans just like you, AJ, and many others listening on Green Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, reacting to the big news or rumors. And you can even find Locked On hosts like ourselves, especially in that stretch run, the Blue Jays try to get to the postseason, because I'm going to be hosting a Spotify Green Room very, very soon. So please go download the free Green Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the MLB group for the latest updates. I know you'll find a ton of incredible rooms around your favorite teams and leagues, but I can't wait to join all of you on the app. So be sure to let you know once the Locked On Jays room is live. I'll download the Green Room app today. Green Room, changing the way we talk about sports. Let me also talk to you about betonline.ag. We're back and better than ever because all eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back on to start another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated interface and site, even more odds, props, and contests, betonline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. All right, AJ, Alek Manoah. Now, like I said, he did not have his best stuff tonight. I mean, we, of course, saw him a week ago where he had that just nasty slider working at all levels. The slider wasn't as effective tonight. He did give up a career high in walks. 6 of the 11 walks tonight were a result of Manoah. But I go back to 2 innings. The second and the sixth. The second inning was bases loaded, 2 out. Really could have got the game out of hand if he gave up runs there. He escapes unscathed with a strikeout. And then the sixth inning, Manoah does the same. Runner in scoring position. He leaves that runner stranded, gets the strikeout. His night is done. What did you make of Manoah's performance, AJ? Because I thought it was pretty gutty for someone so young in September baseball to put together that kind of show.
Yeah, there's a reason why I keep mispronouncing Alex's last name, and that is because he is a legit man of war out there. That was a long way to go for that joke, but dang it, I was determined to get there. But yeah, this is the kind of like gut it out performance. You know, you don't have your best stuff. You know, your slider's not really working the way you want it to, but you're just able to bear down, use the fastball, use your other pitches in your arsenal and get the job done. And like, you know, it's not like Manoah isn't prone to things like that. In addition to the 6 walks, he also hit Austin Meadows. Which is a trend Manoah's established in his professional career. He likes to work inside on people and sometimes they get hit. So he didn't really alter his approach, but he took what he had on the night and was able to work it out. And his defense picked him up at times as well. I mean, we're going to talk about Teoscar Hernandez later. We get to talk about him defensively as well, because nailing Austin Meadows at third base was a pretty nice get. And then Alejandro Kirk catching Meadows stealing after he got on base. Like Austin Meadows had a terrible night on the base pass. But, you know, that's something the Blue Jays defense needs to be able to do as well, is pick up its pitcher when it's clear, you know, they're not having the best stuff. They're not having their best outing on the mound. The defense needs to be able to do that at times. And tonight, Alec Manoah got a lift from his defense, was able to put it together. He still ended up with a 60% strike to balls ratio. So, you know, a gritty, gritty performance, one the Philadelphia Flyers mascot would be proud of, to get this team a win that it desperately needed.
First of all, the hockey reference, speaking my language, AJ. I mean, hockey season's very close by, so I really appreciate that. But look, I mean,
go Avalanche.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, look, Alec Manoah also got like pretty screwed by Joe West. I mean, and look, we spent yesterday's show ripping into Ron Culpa, boy. Joe West outdid himself once again with the strike zone and the inconsistent strike zone and the balls and strikes. Because clearly, I mean, there's a play where it was a clear strikeout. It's a walk. I mean, Manoah's strutting like it's a strikeout. It was a 95 mile per hour, beautiful pitch, and it was a walk. But anyway, that's besides the point, because that's just been the big theme of this series. It's just been the umpiring. But when you look at Manoah, though, versus the Rays this season, I mean, 1.46 ERA. His opponent's batting average, 1.43. 36 strikeouts and just 10 walks. I mean, this is someone, again, he's so young, and this is his first experience being in the big leagues, playing in meaningful September baseball. It's just so impressive. And again, like, for pitchers, not every outing is going to be effective. And I think with Manoah tonight, it teetered, right? Like, I mentioned earlier the second inning. I mean, it could have teetered right there. It could have teetered earlier. And let's be honest, sure, the Blue Jays bullpen has been a lot more effective as of late, but you don't want to go to the bullpen that early and waste those critical arms, especially when there's not a lot of days off in this stretch of September baseball. So, look, Manoah did his job and more. And I think, sure, again, it wasn't the most dominant, but when you're looking back at this season and when you're looking back at Manoah's portfolio, this is one of the top performances up there. And he certainly earned a lot of respect in my book tonight for being able to do what he did.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, first of all, I don't know if Joe West saw everyone talking about Ron Culpa after yesterday's game. It's like, how dare Ron Culpa get all the attention? I can be more terrible than Ron Culpa. Just watch me. I mean, that first pitch from Jordan Romano, who was he facing in that one? Was it Yandy Diaz, I think, took it? Like, it was a slider. It was beautiful. It was right. It curved right over the plate. And Joe West, I guess, must have been trying to book his Uber back to the hotel or something. I don't know what the heck he was doing. But he called it a ball. Sorry, it was G-Man Choi. Yandy Diaz was the second batter. But, like, just changed the whole complexion of that inning with his terrible, terrible calls. So we can't run Joe West's reputation into the ground enough, in my opinion. But yeah, like we've been saying, with Manoah going up there, and like I said, we knew he didn't have his best stuff, we knew he didn't have his slider working, but he was able to do enough to the Rays offense to keep them from being able to tee off Like if you look at his breakdown, he faced 27 batters. He was still able to get first pitch strikes on 20 of them. And a lot of it was just making that ball just enticing enough to get them to go at it. But then they weren't able to really put lumber on it. They hit 21 foul balls off Manoah. So he was getting a lot of late contact, a lot of early contact. He's really good at keeping the Rays off balance. And when you don't have your best stuff, like you can't just like pinpoint fastballs or hook sliders by people, you have to kind of rely on guile. You have to Maddox some batters out. And Alek Manoah was able to do that. And that's why the Blue Jays got the win they did today, because he went out there and just did exactly what he needed to do to keep this team in a position to win.
Yeah, and a position where they're now still ahead of the Yankees for that second AL wildcard spot. And Manoah had a message, AJ, after the game in his post-game media availability. I mean, he was asked about the Blue Jays' push to the postseason and what kind of message this sends to the American League. And he says simply, "We're here. We're here." And that just shows you the type of competitor this guy is. And you can just see when the broadcast shows images of him in the dugout, he's just loving life. I mean, this is someone that just loves life, and you need that youthful energy in the clubhouse, especially as the team is trying to attempt to go to the postseason. Another player who is here as well, and has become a little bit of a favorite on this podcast as of late, Teoscar Hernandez. We're going to talk about Teoscar in just a bit. But first, let me talk to you about Built Bar. Did you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors? There's something for everyone. When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their faves. And I've said on this podcast, it's got to be raspberry, it's got to be mint brownie, and it's got to be double chocolate. Those are my top three favorites, but there are so many more. And the thing about Built Bar is that it's actually really healthy. I mean, 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, and only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. You got to get your order today and get the grasshopper cookie or raspberry or whatever you like. So go to built.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get your 15% off your order. That's again, 15% off at built.com. Now, let me talk to you also about DirecTV. I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle. DirecTV Stream brings you live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, which means you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So stop waiting and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. All right, AJ, Teoscar Hernandez. I mean, what more can we say about this guy? Once again, recording another RBI tonight and a critical one. I mean, that RBI came at just such a critical time for this team, especially what happened towards the end of the game with the bases loaded. I mean, to get that fourth run was huge. And again, just showing that confidence, first pitch, change up to left field, to have that vision to just hit that ball to left field to bring home George Springer. What have you made of just Teoscar Hernandez's second half? I mean, we spoke on last show about Lourdes Gurriel's second half, but Teoscar's having a great second half. And I even said on a couple shows previously how Teoscar's, to me, season is being a little bit overshadowed just because of what Vlad's doing and Marcus Semien and Robbie Ray, but Teoscar Hernandez is having just an incredible season.
Yeah, I think it's just a sign of what a complete hitter he has become at the plate. I mean, he was emblematic of the Blue Jays' problems with the offense in 2018, 2019, which, I mean, those are fun years to cover from an offensive standpoint, but you know, just a guy who's willing to swing at almost anything, wasn't really working counts, was being fooled by curveballs in the dirt. He went back, he worked on it, and we saw those results start to come in 2020 when he got a Silver Slugger Award, got some MVP votes down ballot. This year, he's making sure people know exactly what he is about. And, you know, he's worked on his swing to be able to put a more complete swing on a ball if he chooses to go at said ball. His strikeout rate is down. He's got 139 strikeouts through 131 games. That is approximately 15% improvement on what he did in 2018, 2019 over that time. So by cutting down on strikeouts, making pitchers work to him, and being able to adjust his swing to, like, as you said, get a slow down instead of chasing fences. He's letting his natural power work as well. He's going to hit 30 home runs this year. Like, I mean, I don't think that's a question. I'm pretty sure he's going to go deep at least once before October 3rd. But he has become as important to the Blue Jays as Vladdy, as Bo Bichette. He's a building block. And all he cost them was Francisco Liriano.
Amazing.
And the contract of Norichi Kaioki.
It's amazing. I mean, the Blue Jays got a huge win on that deal. I mean, we talked about the Rays and that Chris Archer deal. I mean, you know, that was crazy what they got there. But for the Blue Jays to get someone in Teoscar Hernandez, and I said this a couple shows, and I'll reiterate it again. I mean, him going to the minor leagues helps so much. And I know that for big league guys, that they get a taste of the big leagues, but then they want to stay there, obviously. But he needed to go back to the minors to figure out his swing, to figure out the plate discipline. And for him to be able to do that, and now these last two seasons put together an incredible resume. And look, I know there were people out there saying, well, last year was only 60 games and blah, blah, blah. But he's now doing it over a whole 162 and when it matters. And they place him in such a great spot, fifth in the batting order. And look what he's done on the road, AJ. The last 23 road games, all he's done is just have a .404 batting average, .787 slugging percentage, 9 home runs, 27 RBIs. I mean, you can't get this guy out. And he's just finding ways to extend at bats, to make life miserable for opposing pitchers. You saw that tonight when he got the fourth run. It's just been an incredible season for Teoscar. And I just can't wait to see it continue in big games like this against quality opponents and then in the postseason, because I just think he's going to deliver if the Blue Jays get to that point.
And it's remarkably consistent as well. I mean, you look at like his batting average on balls in play in September, he's got a .419 average on balls in play. He's been able to like just hit where the holes are. And like, it's, you know, sometimes you do need that little bit of luck to get going. I mean, like you said, when 2019, he needed that stint in Buffalo to shake off what had been a dreadful start to the season. I think he was batting like 189 or something when he went down to Buffalo before that. He is not batting 189 now. He's not batting like 189 probably for the next 10 years because he's just been so consistently good. So down and away curveball that, like I said, we saw him swing at so many times. I got so angry at him every time. I'm like, stop swinging at that. You're not going to get it. Finally, they made adjustments. Finally, he's like, okay, yeah, I can't actually get that. Maybe I should just tighten up my zone a bit. And again, you see the difference in what it makes. I mean, we said for so long on this podcast that, you know, the window's coming. It's 2021. It's 2022. They needed the time to get better and find themselves. And Teoscar, just the latest example of a guy who, you know, the Blue Jays saw an organization that did not value him or what he could potentially be. And they gave him the time to work on it. And he has repaid them like a malfunctioning ATM. Like he's not going to finish 11th in MVP this year, Lucas. I see at least I could see three Blue Jays in the top seven between him, Vladdy, and Marcus Semien.
Wild. Absolutely wild. And like perhaps a functioning ATM, it's just going to be printing out money for Teoscar Hernandez when that moment comes and he gets a new contract. Before we wrap up, AJ, critical third game of the series tomorrow, the rubber game, winner takes this three-game series. It's an afternoon game, first pitch this after 3 o'clock Eastern. It's going to be a wild one. This was supposed to be Hyunjin Ryu's start. Of course, Hyunjin Ryu is on the injured list. Bullpen game with the umpire crew that this series has. I mean, it's going to be pretty wild.
Yeah, well, it was supposed to be Hyunjin Ryu against Michael Wacha, and now neither of those guys are going to be starting because Wacha pitched the final three innings of tonight's game. So it's going to be essentially all hands on deck on both sides, and it'll be interesting to see how the Blue Jays attack this. I mean, I'm expecting Ross Stripling to get the start. I don't know if they go for an opener. I wouldn't recommend it. I mean, they haven't done it all year. But I would expect Ross Stripling to go out there, try and give like 3-4 innings of work, and then you just piece together from there and out Taylor Salcedo for an inning or two. Nate Pearson's probably going to be involved. Liam Merriweather's going to be involved. Anthony Castro is going to have to come out on this. It is, like I said, it's going to be an all-hands-on-deck scenario, and I can't even rule out the three guys that pitched tonight in Tim Mesa, Trevor Richards, and Jordan Romano, because they're going to need them if it's a close game. And like the Rays, they have a lot more experience doing this sort of thing. I mean, they've been doing it all year. Like I said, they sent Wacha out tonight without a care in the world because they have enough guys on their roster that they are fine just sending out whenever. Like I said, I can't even give you a probable starter for them just because they are so all over the place with their pitching staff. I mean, if I'm guessing, like the way they've been moving the rotation around, I would expect Luis Patino to get the majority of the starts, which means majority of the innings. So the Blue Jays have to be ready for a fireballer. And, you know, I have no doubt the bats can handle what Patino's throwing at them, but they have to be on their toes and be able to adapt like they have been doing during this September run.
No doubt. It's going to be a fascinating conclusion to this series. Of course, we're going to break down all of that on tomorrow's edition of the Locked On Blue Jays podcast. The one thing I will leave you listeners with, Charlie Montoyo just did his post-game media availability, and he did say that Rays manager Kevin Cash apologized to him, Pete Walker, and Blue Jays general manager Ross Atkins for the incident where Kevin Kiermaier took the play card. Montoyo, of course, said Cash is his friend and it's water under the bridge. So that is about the card gate, which we talked about earlier on the show, and that's what Charlie Montoyo had to say at the end there. But that does it for us on this edition of the Locked On Blue Jays podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. Before we let you go, though, there is one thing I want you guys to check out, and that is Locked On Bets. Betting on Major League Baseball, the Toronto Blue Jays, does not have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, run team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get your podcasts. And just like Locked On Bets, you can find Locked On Blue Jays wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your pods. So that does it for us. I'm Lucas Weiss. That's AJ Andrews. Thank you so much for tuning in to Locked On Blue Jays. We'll be back soon. Have a great one.